You are listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. It's a chance to see antiques, buy antiques, and maybe even have your own treasures identified. The 40th annual Houston Museum Show and Sale is coming up Friday. In this segment, I'm speaking with one of the experts who's coming to town for the sale. His name is Dean Six, and he's an authority on antique glass. Dean, welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
So I want to talk about, first of all, what you're going to be doing while you're here. You're a glass expert specifically, so I'm imagining people who want to get their stuff identified probably shouldn't bring, like, Civil War swords to you or something like that.
I'd love to see them, but I'm not going to be able to say much except, ooh, nice. So probably not.
And glass, I mean, pitchers, Anna Safley Houston here at the Houston Museum was famous for collecting pitchers specifically. But what are some of the kind other kind of objects that people bring to have identified?
We see a great many goblets and drinking vessels, which are a common form for glass, beyond pitchers or other kinds of tableware. Of course, vases, decorative pieces like that. A lot of things that are just ornamental. So glass is a pretty wide open topic.
What about things like Coca-Cola bottles? I know Coca-Cola collecting is pretty big here because of our connection to Coca-Cola in the city.
Love it. Yes. Coke bottles, any kind of a bottle. Traditionally, the glass world comes in tableware and hollowware, which means all the things used to contain stuff, fruit jars, bottles and stuff. Absolutely, yes.
And so when you're here, just to be specific, you're not actually going to be appraising things, is that right?
That's correct. Because part of my life is as the director of another museum, a glass museum in West Virginia, there's kind of a taboo to be a museum person and talk about values. Not sure why.
Really?
But would love to help people figure out what it is, when it was made, maybe where it was made. And then we can point them to someplace where they might find value, but not doing appraisals. That's correct.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that if you were involved in a museum, you weren't allowed to do that.
It's one of those ethical things that people frown on.
Huh. Well, I know that is, I'm sure, what everybody wants to know. You know, shows like Antiques Roadshow and Pawn Stars, everybody thinks that thing in their attic is going to be worth a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
What should people do after they've gotten their glass object identified? I mean, just go on eBay, or is there a better resource than that?
It would depend on the object. Some things there are not in print contemporary value guides to. So eBay or some other online source is the best answer. It's the most contemporary answer to value. But for many things, there are good imprint books. So when any time we do identification, we give people a small paper written slip what we believe after we've looked at the objects. And one of the things that paper would say is where to go to possibly find more information. So we'd give them a clue on where they might find value.
And you're the director of the Museum of American Glass in West Virginia. You first got interested in collecting glass when you were 9 years old. What happened when you were 9 years old that made you a glass fanatic?
lived in rural West Virginia. In the summers with my siblings, we would walk and pick up soda bottles, which we then took when my mother went to the grocery store. We cashed them in for 3 cents. I'm sure lots of people remember the day of deposit soda bottles or pop bottles where I grew up. One time I had one that they wouldn't take. It was too old. One of my father's friends advised me it was worth $15.
Wow.
And even at a young age, my little entrepreneurial eyes realized that all soda bottles weren't created. And I set off on a mission to find more of those $15 bottles. And that kind of just has snowballed for decades since I was a child.
What are some of the hot items in the world of glass? Obviously, special bottles, but I mean, are there any other specific items that people really want right now?
In talking to the press in Chattanooga, I've talked a wee bit about Pyrex and Corningware, which are things that people remember well from 30, 40 years ago, probably the heyday for that. But nostalgia always plays a big part in what we assign value to and what we collect. So a lot of Corningware and Pyrex from the second half of the 20th century, very desirable today. Things that have modern influences, meaning big, colorful things used in homes, oversized things from the 60s, late 50s, 60s, and 70s. Jewelry, glass jewelry right now seems to be a pretty popular thing, both old and new. Those would be some of the highlights, I think.
Huh. And you'll be here giving some lectures on Saturday and Sunday. What are you going to be talking about?
One time we're going to look specifically at kind of where the glass market's going. What's hot? What's new? What are people likely to be looking for? And it's always fun to try to guess what the next trend will be. We'll talk about what might influence that a little bit, where it might go, and what's some of those possible future collectibles would be. The other looks backwards more than forward to, you know, kind of what have been the periods of collectible American glassware, what's made them popular in their time period, and just kind of overview historically of those things. So one looks back, one looks forward.
And you've written quite a number of books on glass collecting. How many books have you written?
I hate to hem-haw on that one. I'm not quite sure. Between written and co-written, probably someplace around a dozen and a half.
So that's quite a bit of research.
It's what I love to do. It's a pleasure to do it. So I look forward to it. And I usually have one project going before I finish the one that's on my desk.
What is it about glass that keeps you interested all these years?
It's a story from my part of the world. In the community where I grew up, it was a dominant employer. It was the story of my family, my friends, my community. That kind of fueled it in the first place. And it's still a large part of American material culture where the story is not well told. We write more about architecture or textiles probably than we do about glass. So it's kind of my story or our story, and it's a little told story. So that kind of opens up a lot of opportunity.
And you were talking about things like Corningware being collectible. In the world of glass, is it often things that were just everyday household items, or is it more like something from Tiffany or something that was meant to be really expensive when it was first created?
Both. A lot of people who love to collect don't have a budget to buy, you know, Tiffany lamps, which are tens of thousands of dollars each and up. So maybe your budget doesn't allow that and you collect something else. And a lot of people really are inspired by nostalgia. They collect things they remember. Mother, grandmother, you know, grandparents' home, someplace there's an emotional connection that tied to it. And that, for most of us, that does not include Tiffany lamps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're going to be here for the Houston Museum Antiques Show and Sale. It begins February 21st. More information is at thehoustonmuseum.org. There will also be a preview party here in Chattanooga on the 20th. And again, you can find more information about the Houston Museum Antiques Show and Sale at thehoustonmuseum.org. How can people find you online, Dean Six?
Probably the best way is to look at the Museum of American Glass in West Virginia. We have a website, wvmag.com, and contact me through the museum.
Well, Dean Six, thank you so much for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.